views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the transformative show, We Carry the Light, with host Dr. Susan Allison, the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. Who are you right now, and who do you want to be? What is it that makes you happy, helps you feel fulfilled, and living your purpose? Tune in and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine. Now, here is your host, Dr. Susan Allison.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to We Carry the Light, where you find inspiration for transformation. I'm Dr. Susan Allison, and I'm so glad that you're here for my second show, yay, at Transformation Talk Radio. So I hope you listened last week because I had an incredible guest, Eva Maria Mora. If you were on the show, you heard her talk about angel healing. And I felt lucky to have her on the show as well. If you missed her show, you can go to transformationtalkradio.com and go to the archive shows and, you know, be able to listen to her, her story about her own life and her own healing with angels. And if you did hear the show, you know that she's offering a free 30-minute consultation or session with her. And all you have to do is go to contact@quantumangel.com. Now, I'm bringing this up because I had a session with her this week. And I have had a lot of healing in my life. I've, you know, been a seeker my entire life, and I have done so much work on myself. And I did a healing with her. And I have to tell you, it was the most powerful and amazing one I've ever had. It feels like even in my cells, my DNA feels like it's different. And during the session, I was able to release a lot of the past, especially trauma and really anything that doesn't serve me any longer. So today, after just a few days ago, I really do feel, I feel lighter, I feel freer, calmer, and really more purposeful, but in a very calm, relaxed, serene way. I guess serenity is the word that I'm looking for. I feel really serene. So contact her. And I think that you hopefully will have an experience that was amazing like mine. I almost forgot to mention also, I have a new website and I'm very excited about it. You go to drsusanallison.com. You can download other shows that I did, 55 shows at another network. You can download some of those. You can see interviews I've had with people all over the world. And you can get my books on Amazon. I have 4 books at Amazon, and I do have a 5th one coming out this year. So go ahead and connect with me. Send me an email at drsusanallison.com. So what I realized this morning that I want to share with you guys is that I'm realizing I'm inviting guests to help me with my issues. Now, at first I went, oh my gosh, that's so selfish. And yet, no, they're you know, these guests, including our guests today, are helping me with my issues, helping me transform. And I think that my guests are also going to help you transform. They're going to inspire you and help you and support you in your life. So today's guest definitely fits that description, Carol Brody Fleet. And she's not somebody I've met in person or even on the phone before until today, but I met her through her book. And her book, Happily Even After, is about going through and beyond the grief of being widowed. And for those of you who heard me on Dr. Pat's show recently, you know that I am a widow, that my husband, Tom, who definitely was and is the love of my life, is my soul's mate, transitioned in August of 2013. And I was just talking to Carol before the show that this really isn't that long. It's a year and a half. But I have to tell you that for me, at times it feels like forever. Other times the clock seems just go tick, tick, tick so slowly. It feels like my life is at a standstill some days. And I both miss him terribly, and I'm trying to go on with my life as well at the same time. you know, what helped me, I spent months writing a new book that is coming out this year, and that kept me busy and happy, but also kind of postponed my grief. And I had to sort of, you know, once the book was turned into the publisher, I had to do quite a bit of grieving that I had been stuffing while I had been so busy. So that's something I learned that I tend to do, is get busy and then don't deal with my feelings. So I'm, you know, as I said, doing the very best I can. I'm working on a music CD, a new one. I just started this radio show. And so, yes, I have a life that I'm trying to lead. But on some days, to be honest, I want to pull the covers over my head and just cry. And this is after a year and a half. And so I really tell my own clients this. I need to tell myself this, which it just takes the time it takes to get over such a huge loss. There have been a lot of things that have helped me recover. You know, the support of my family. I have a big family. I have wonderful friends, and I've been in support groups and therapy. You know, I go into nature, et cetera. As I said before, you know, being creative helps. And I'm sure Carol will talk about all this today. You know, I have to move my body. I love being in outdoors to do it. I try to eat well. I meditate, I have a spiritual practice, et cetera, and so on. I read really supportive literature, including Carol's book that's helped me tremendously that I mentioned earlier. Now, Carol Brody Fleet's book, you know, Happily Even After, has been an amazing help for me, and I'm so grateful to Carol. I love the title from the beginning when I first saw it, because it actually made me think, wow, maybe I can be happy again. It gave me some hope, just the title, before I even read it. Also, I love it that she doesn't write this book out of pure research like some authors do. You know, although she does cite some experts, this book is about her own experience losing her husband when she was only 40. And she includes letters from other widows asking for guidance. The book's organized around these letters and Carol's answers. And I've, you know, read some sections over and over, I have to say. Carol Brody Fleet, then, you know, what I just said, you know, I'm saying this, I'm repeating it. She really walks her talk. After her husband's death, she founded Widows Wear Stilettos Incorporated. She's the chief executive officer of her organization. It has helped thousands of women who find themselves widowed and in need of support. She's widely known as the leader and expert in the areas of grief and loss, and has been a regular guest on radio and TV shows. I think she told me before the show she's been on 800 radio shows. Isn't that amazing? She's been featured in numerous magazines and newspapers as well, and received outstanding service awards from insurance companies and foundations, and has authored this amazing book to help all of us through overwhelming grief. I'm personally grateful for this book and her work in the world. She definitely carries and shines her light. Let's welcome Carol Brody Fleet. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Dr.
So good to have
you.
So good to have you here.
Thank you.
Good to have you. Yes, wonderful. I'm wondering if you could start. I always like to start with personal stories because I love them when I hear them, and I know that my listeners do. But could you start telling us a bit of your own personal story with your husband and how your own experience led to the founding of your organization and writing of this book?
Absolutely. I will take you back to 1998. At that point in time, I had just left the legal profession, which is where I come from by education and degree, to pursue a career in the beauty and cosmetics field. My husband, Mike, was a 28-year veteran of the Santa Ana, California Police Department. He was an award-winning police officer. And our daughter, Kendall, was 9 years old at that time. And in 1998 was when Mike was diagnosed with ALS. That's more commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease. And thanks to the wonderful ALS Ice Bucket Challenge last year, most people now have a really good understanding of what ALS is and what it does to its victims. Mike battled ALS for 2 years before his battle came to an end on December 19th of 2000. And at that moment in time, I became a widow at what I thought was such a young age. I got humbled very quickly. But I was chronologically younger. widow, and I had a then 11-year-old daughter on the cusp of adolescence, and had absolutely no idea what direction to go in, what came first, what to do. There was no one to talk to. All of my peers were having babies or celebrating divorces. It was really either end of the spectrum at that age, that season in time.
Wow.
And you have to remember that in 2000, the internet was a baby. You had basically a choice of chat rooms or porn. And I didn't need either one of those things. Still don't. But there wasn't the resources that we have today on the internet.
Right.
And about 5 years later, after I had felt that I had sufficiently recovered, I began writing, because I always felt that if you can't find it, you create it. And that is really where everything started for me.
Yeah, I really hear you. I think that, you know, when I read that in your book, I could relate, because I wrote a divorce book, Conscious Divorce with Random House, because I couldn't find a darn thing that was positive or spiritual about divorce. And so I just wrote it myself. And I read that in your book, that you did the same thing, that you needed to write the book because you couldn't really find it elsewhere.
Well, and there are wonderful, wonderful books out there, wonderful grief recovery books, absolutely, and I own most of them. But none of them were talking about a lot of the issues that we in the widowed community face.
Yep.
And nobody was talking about these things, and whether they're considered controversial or off limits or too difficult, it doesn't make those issues go away. And that's what I felt more than anything needed to be discussed.
Very, very true. We need to take a break, even though I hate to, because I'm already so engaged with Carol, but we need to take a short break, and we'll be back with Carol Brody Fleet in just a moment.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer, and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com, or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Welcome back, everyone, to We Carry the Light. And our guest is Carol Brody Fleet with her incredible book that I just have devoured, Happily Even After. And I got the phone number for any of you who'd like to call in. It is 1-800-930-2819. If you'd like to call in during the show, Carol's going to be talking about being widowed herself and all the help that she provides in her book for those of us, including me, who have been widowed. So, Carol, you were telling your story, and you were just saying that in terms of your book being somewhat different from the other books out there, and you can either talk more about that or you can talk about what led you to finally writing the book, or how long after your husband's death, et cetera. So wherever you want to start.
Well, let's start with Happily Even After and what makes it different from all the other grief books. Because if a widow is listening, chances are she already has about 10 books on her shelf that deal with grief. It's the only book that is what it is in the entire genre, because all of the questions, every single one of them, in Happily Even After come from actual letters written by real widows. These aren't questions that come from other experts. They're not questions that I'm sitting here making up in my head. They come from actual letters. And then, like you said earlier, the answers to the questions are the actual replies that I provided to the authors of those letters. And, of course, there's additional commentary and personal anecdotes. And not only does Happily address issues and topics that a lot of other books don't, all of the answers are right there in one book. If you have a question about where you are in the emotional recovery, there's an answer for you. If you have a question about your financial and legal transitioning, there's an answer for you. If you have a question about how to handle the holidays, how to help your children, what to do about things like dating and love and intimacy, there's an answer in there for you. There literally is something for every widow, regardless of where you are on your healing journey. And there's also situations in there that you might not even think about happening, but they're more common than you might believe. For example, a widow who finds out that her husband has passed away, and she gets that call from his mistress.
Yes.
And then, or another widow whose husband's mistress was actually coming after part of the estate. Mm. Or the widow who actually was out of town on yet another bereavement and came home to find that her brother-in-law had cremated her husband without her knowledge and consent.
Oh my God. There
are so many different scenarios in there. What about the unmarried widow? The person who was left behind as a fiancé, as a boyfriend or girlfriend, or as a life partner, because we do proudly serve the LGBT communities as well.
Yes.
So you've got really a one-stop depot for all of the answers that you need, regardless of where you are on your healing journey, or even, you know, how you lost your spouse, your technical marital status. It's all right there.
Yeah, no, it sure is. I love it because you go into issues that some other people would say are too sensitive, or they're taboo, or you know, whatever, that you don't talk about that in public. And you are talking about the real issues. And what you said about someone who's not really married but is going through all the same stages of grief and all of the same feelings. I have a good friend right now whose son was killed in a horrible accident on a very dangerous stretch of highway here in the Santa Cruz area called Highway 17. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's huge legislation up now to try to keep the big rig trucks off of that road, et cetera. Anyway, he had a fiance, and she's going through, and they were in their 20s. So she's going through just a very difficult time. And I'm, you know, I'm done with your book. I'm going to give your book to her.
And thank you for that. And it's a wonderful thing. But here's the problem that so many widowed fiancés and life partners run into. We don't have a, quote, label, if you will, for them. You know, whether we like it or not, when we lose a spouse to whom we are married, we have a societal recognition. We have a recognition by label. We are recognized. We have a title. these poor people don't. And along with that lack of recognition comes lack of respect. They are very oftentimes not included in final arrangements, yet they are oftentimes left with bills to pay. They're, unless provisions are made for them in the private sector, either through a will or through life insurance, there is very little in the way of government recourse and benefits that they're going to be able to recoup. Unlike their widow counterparts. And then you have these people seeking support desperately, and they are literally turned away from support groups because they weren't technically married. I can't even fathom looking at somebody in pain, seeing that pain in their eyes and saying, "You're not welcome here." I could never be that person.
I know. It's really terrible. I'm glad you feel you have so much passion for this because you've seen it happen over and over. And I know that a group that I was in, which was called a loss of partner group, there was a person there who'd lost a partner who was a lesbian, and there was another person who wasn't married. So there are hopefully now more and more groups where I love that, you know, that the title of it, loss of partner, you know, it's not loss of spouse. They're not, you know, they're not discriminating with that title, and they're welcoming everyone who has lost somebody and who is in grief, in the same kind of grief.
Exactly. We have to recognize that loss is loss. If love is love, then loss is loss. Loss doesn't understand marriage certificates and paperwork and technicalities. All loss is loss. And when you have loved that deeply, that you have committed yourself to another person, and whether or not you didn't make it down the aisle in before you became widowed, or if you live in a place that is archaic and bigoted and doesn't recognize your love, I'm trying not to editorialize, but oops. Regardless of your circumstances, you deserve to be respected and honored, as does your loss.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important to speak to as broad a bereaved community as humanly possible. And as far as discussing the sensitive and controversial subjects, if you will, to me, not discussing those subjects just isn't an option. Choosing to ignore those topics doesn't mean that these things aren't happening every day. I don't intentionally court controversy. I want to make that clear. Mm-hmm. But I've learned to concentrate on the mission rather than on the moaners. And if people get offended because we do talk about things like intimacy or remarriage or money issues or any of those things, we still have to talk about them because that is what the widow community is dealing with. We can't just sit around and sing "The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow." We know it does, but while we're waiting for that sun to come out tomorrow, we have some other stuff going on. And people need direction and guidance in that.
Absolutely. See, I love your passion. And for those of you who don't have this book and want it, you're going to read the same passion in the book because Carol's tone is just like this. I was telling her before the show, I love how she says, you know, don't listen to those people who are trying to tell you how to feel, you know, and I was going, yeah, you know, because people always say, like they said to you, I think it was at your husband's memorial, that woman who was so insensitive.
That's my Hall of Famer, Susan.
Share it because it just was unbelievable to me.
Well, we've all been told things like, "I know how you feel," and then they go on to tell you how their dog died, or you know, everything happens for a reason. Well, I can't imagine what that reason would be. My Hall of Famer was told to me literally at the graveside portion of my husband's funeral, which was very large, very grand. It was a police officer's funeral with full honors. And as we were sitting at graveside and we're preparing to depart, a woman came up to me and said, "Don't worry, honey, you'll forget all about him when you get a new boyfriend."
Oh, God.
And it's been a number of years now, and I still don't have a comeback for that one. And I'm pretty good with the witty repartee, and I still don't have anything.
Oh, I mean, I think my mouth was hanging open when I was reading it just in the book.
I share that story just to let people know that insensitivity is alive and well. And we need to learn how to comfort the bereaved in an appropriate, sensitive, compassionate way. And that's as big a part of the education as that I teach as anything else.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People need to know how to treat any bereaved, really, not just widows. But listening to some of the things that widows have had to endure, imagine one widow's horror when she was at the funeral home making her husband's arrangements. You're not in a good headspace at that moment.
Mm-mm.
And she asked if she could use a credit card. And the funeral director said, yes, you can. You'll probably get points toward a great vacation.
Oh, my God.
Let's take a moment to digest that. This is someone who is in the business.
Oh, my God. Oh,
and,
Carol.
And said something like that. Yeah.
Oh,
the stories that I have heard, that's a whole other show.
It sure is. You know, it's a whole other show. You know, the other one I remember that you shared in the book was when the person said to you that, you know, maybe you were supposed to be alone.
Right, right.
I was so stunned by that. And it made me realize some of the times when people said those things to me. And you know what? Since it's been a year and a half, I'm less angry about it than I was. And now what I realize, Carol, is that people are so afraid of death in our culture and that, you know, it brings up so much for them about their own mortality. Plus, they don't know how to talk about it, and it feels weird. Plus, they miss the person if they were, you know, like my husband's friends. They have said very insensitive things to me. But now I realize it's why I have written my current book that's coming out this year that's called You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven. And it's really helping people no longer fear death and realize where their loved ones have gone, because I think we're in a culture that it chronically fears death. And I think that's another reason why people say the things they do. They don't have language for it, and it brings up their own stuff.
Well, and it goes beyond that, too. It's not even it's not just fear of death. It's death denying, really.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, nobody wants, and that's why people don't have wills. They don't have life insurance.
Yep.
They're ill-prepared.
Yep.
We don't want to talk about it, because if we don't talk about it, it'll go away.
Well, plus it is fear-based is what I'm getting at.
Sure,
it's all fear-based. And we also live in a culture that glorifies youth, that, you know, et cetera. And so it is very thick and dense and deep in terms of the issue. So I do need to take another break. This is a fantastic discussion with Carol Brody Fleet and her book, Happily Even After. We'll be right back.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
It's here, the 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference, February 12th through the 16th. This year's theme is I Am We, Hearts Connecting Communities, with special guests Jean Shinoda Bolin, healer Patty Conklin, Penny Pierce, and over 40 experiential life-changing workshops and inspiring evenings, all individually priced for you to create your unique conference. Evenings open to men. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. Watch for the early bird specials all through December.
Get sophisticated with David and Philip Zarza. David and Philip touch on topics such as human potential, spirituality, pop culture, and purposeful living. Experience an insightful reading from David on what the universe has in store for you, or reconnect with a departed loved one. Philip can look into an issue or anything else you may be dealing with. Go to getsophisticated.com. That's SOPHISTIGAYTED.com or call 206-420-8660.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Welcome back, everyone, to We Carry the Light and my guest, Carol Brody Fleet, author of Happily Even After. We're having a spirited conversation, and I love what she has to say in this book. If you don't have it, Happily Even After, A Guide to Getting Through and Beyond the Grief of Widowhood. Carol, before we go further, because I'm afraid I'm going to forget, because we're going to get excited again and we're going to be chatting and the show's going to be over. If you could tell listeners how to get your book and how to contact you, and if you have any workshops or teleseminars or anything coming up.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, first, the best place to start is at widowswearstilettos.com. Both books, Happily Even After and Widows Wear Stilettos, are available at all book chains, brick-and-mortar stores, independents, and, of course, at all major book-buying sites online, Amazon, Tower.com, and so forth. You can also find us on Facebook at Widows Wear Stilettos, which is a wonderful community of people just like you. We welcome anyone and everyone who has suffered the loss of a spouse, regardless of circumstances, technical marital status, gender, age, what have you. So we're everywhere. I'm excited. I am in the middle of giving birth to a new book, and I say giving birth because that's exactly what it's like.
Yes.
But I'll be releasing a book in September of this year by the same publishers of Happily Even After, our good friends at Viva Editions. So that's coming up. And then I will be doing a little bit of traveling to the annual Camp Widow events, and those are sponsored by Soaring Spirits International. And I'll be appearing in San Diego and in Toronto, Canada. At Camp Widow, and that's just a little slice of what's going on. I'm on the air all over the place, and all of that information and more is at widowswearstilettos.com.
Wonderful. Fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. So that yeah, you did a great job. So listeners can find you and can hear you speak, attend some events where you'll be present, can get your book, and so on. So thanks. So before the break, we were talking about that we really need another show just to talk about the kind of the etiquette of talking to someone who's been widowed and how, you know, what to say, what not to say. So that's something that, you know, we need to do, maybe do another show on. But I want to focus on some other things here that really hit me in your book. And I kind of put markers, little purple markers in all the pages. Pages that,
that's how I read too.
I took my little post-its, you know, I just put them all in the book. So one thing that really struck me between the eyes, because I feel this way, is I hate the word widow. Mm-hmm. Yes, I am a widow. I wish there were another word. And you talked about that in the book. Any advice on how I can change the perspective and change my feelings about it, or that the people listening can?
Yes, stop hating it. No, that's a little pat.
It's hard.
Well, yes, it is. And here's why. There's an excellent reason why. Everybody has a stereotypical image of what and who a widow is. We all have the same image. It's somebody who is elderly. It's somebody who's shrouded in black. It's someone who talks to her cats. I actually talk to my cats, but anyway, it's somebody who got to be married for 80 years. That's the stereotypical image. And that's actually where the title Widows Wear Stilettos comes from. Because when I was sitting at my husband's funeral, that was the first time the word widow ever occurred to me. Because the 2 years preceding that, it was just an exercise in survival. It was about survival. It wasn't about widowhood. I never dawned on me that I was going to be a widow until they put that American flag in my lap. Well, they give that to the widow, and I thought, I can't be a widow. I wear 5-inch heels. I listen to heavy metal music. This is impossible. So we don't like what the word connotates. We don't like that image, and it's an image that I have been committed to breaking ever since I began writing 10 years ago. So that is one of the huge reasons that we don't like the word widow. But we also, what we're saying is we don't like widowhood. Nobody likes widowhood, and nobody would fault you for hating that. But what I want to do is tweak some thinking a little bit. Has it ever occurred to you that the word widow is a badge of honor? Has it ever occurred to you that unlike, sadly, at least 50% of our society today, you were there till death did you part? Everybody upheld their end of the vows. Everybody hung in there until the very end, no matter what that end looked like. Yeah. You did exactly what you pledged to do. And how is that not something to be proud of? Nobody likes the widow journey. Nobody likes widowhood. But the word widow, I would wear that proudly, "You were married till death did you part." What's wrong with that?
Yeah, no, you're right. I love the way you reframed that for me, which is, I do not like widowhood. I mean, I have not been single since I was 18. So here I am single, living in this house by myself with a dog and a cat. I thought that my husband and I would have, 25, 30 more years together.
Sure, sure.
We were together 19. Second marriage, love of my life, soulmate, twin flame, just this, man that I feel like I lost a part of me. I lost my arm, my right arm, when he died. And so being a widow has not been thrilling. I have not. And I think just the name also, I feel like people also sort of pity me. I see looks on people's faces, and I don't really care for that. So I think being a widow is different from being divorced. It's like people grow silent. All of our friends that, my husband was a professional surfer, so I go to events where these are all his friends from childhood, and people turn away. People can't look at me. People look down, that I feel this pity. And so that's another reason.
Because they don't know what to say. They don't know what
I know,
to say.
I know.
So what they do
I
is
know.
They say nothing. And
it's
the
awkward.
Worst thing in the world. It's the worst thing in the world to say nothing.
Yeah,
and that's
awkward.
Because they don't know how to handle it.
I know. I know. It's still not thrilling going through this. It's really been tough. It's been very, very hard. It's been hard.
In no way make light of that.
No, I know you don't. I know. But your book helped me because you it's like you address all of this. It's like, I love how you put everything on the table. Everything is can be discussed. The fact that I hate the word widow, or have hated, and I'm going to try to change how I feel. It was up front. It was right there in the book where you just said, okay,
I know. And all that is really, that is an invitation for you to think of it differently. It's not, you're wrong to think this way. You can't tell someone how they feel, which is another big problem that we have in the widow community and in the bereaved community. You can't tell someone how to feel. And a lot of people like to try to do that. And I can't tell you, quit hating the word widow, Susan. What's the matter with you? I mean, what I'm inviting people to do is look at this from all angles. And too many widowed don't look at it from the angle that, hey, wow, I was there till death did we part. I did uphold my end of the vows. I was there until they drew their last breath, no matter how that last breath occurred.
Yes.
Or even if you were there.
Yep.
You were in the marriage, and let's look at it that way, because when we try and shift a paradigm just a little bit, it can make the rest of the journey a little easier to swallow, because it's the journey that you've been handed.
I love that. I love that. That I really want to honor where I am, honor that I held his hand all night and he died in the morning. And, I was by his side, for 6 years during his cancer, so I really, thank you so much for reframing that. That's really, really incredible. There's a lot of other things. You should see how much I have here. We need another hour, Carol. I'll have to have you on again, maybe when your book comes out. So I want to talk about the couples world, because boy, have I experienced that. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that, you mentioned that was a main issue in the book, where you talk about living in a couple's world, and Valentine's Day is coming up and so on. I was in Maui. My son sweetly took me to Maui after my husband died. And everywhere I looked in Hawaii, everywhere I looked, there were couples. And my son said to me, Mom, do they all look happy? I had this myth that everybody was happy and here I was alone and I was blah, blah, blah. Well, they didn't all look happy, and it reframed that for me. But the couple's world, how do we deal with that?
You mean like feeling like the cruise director on Noah's Ark? Okay. especially, we just wound up the holidays, and we are looking at Valentine's Day. First of all, you bring up a really good point, Susan, is that we tend to see what we want to see. And what we want to see is happy couples, because you're not one now. And so we're assuming that just because two people are walking together or having a meal together that they are happy. And you don't know that behind those closed doors are fights over bills, and Junior is failing algebra, and the orthodontist needs paying, and have you cheated on me, and we're, you know, who's going to pay the mortgage? Nobody sees mm-hmm. all that. Okay, but exactly. We see what we choose to see. And we also have to realize that not everybody in the world is coupled off. It's like saying, well, you know, I'm not going to try and sell anything during the day because, you know, everybody works. Well, if everybody works, malls wouldn't open till 6 p.m. It's the same thing here. Not everybody is a happy couple. So let's get that through our heads.
Yep.
Secondly,
yep.
What you need to do is, first of all, if your friends are couples, even in your nucleus, in your inner circle, get together with the girl half of those couples, because they're not joined at the hip. They're not umbilically connected. You can get the girlfriend half and go have a girls' night. And then get yourself around people like you. You know, Facebook really is a wonderful thing. In that regard, that it unites people with one very huge common denominator. They've all walked the path of widowhood, and they can all relate to things like, yeah, this person said something stupid to me too, or, yeah, I don't know how to make the financial transitions, or, wow, how did you handle this? People are making friends for life that they would have never met otherwise, either, you know, due to geography, whatever. And you get yourself around like people, so you realize that you're not alone in your walk.
Yep.
That was the biggest goal 10 years ago, was creating a community that, by and large, didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And create a dialogue that wasn't happening, because the first thing you feel when you're widowed is alone, not just physically alone, because your spouse is gone, but you feel alone in every sense, mentally, yep. emotionally, spiritually, you know, metaphorically alone, that you're an island. And then you feel marginalized
mm-hmm.
because you're a widow and no one else in the world that you know is a widow except for maybe your 100-year-old great aunt.
Yes.
And that's someone to who you're not going to easily relate. So when you get yourself around like people in like situations, that's very helpful. When we're looking at Valentine's Day, and in fact, this on widowsforstilettos.com, the monthly message talks about wondering what to do about Valentine's Day, so it's not a horrible day filled with dread. And there's wonderful suggestions and ideas on how to have a really cool Valentine's Day that does not involve being coupled off.
Mm-hmm.
Because Valentine's
Fantastic.
Day isn't just about romantic love. It's about love. And there's other love in your life other than romantic love.
Mm-hmm.
And love Very of true. Pizza.
Actually, you mentioned love and pizza. I have a really good friend who's having a pizza party
there
on
you
Valentine's
go.
Day.
I'm there.
you must have been reading my mind at that point, because I was just chuckling here thinking about, you know, there are going to be a whole bunch of us who are single and one person is married but always hangs out with us when we go dancing or do whatever, and we're going to have a pizza party.
And that's one of the suggestions is having a girls' night out or a girls' night in, and different party ideas and themes. And this is one of them. It's upbeat. It's fun. You don't feel like the cruise director on Noah's Ark.
Exactly.
And that also begs the obvious question is, what about love again? What about letting somebody into your life and that whole dichotomy and what that creates on the inside? And again, that could be a whole other show too. How that works. And I'll just start with the bottom line, because it is such a big subject. The heart expands infinitely to embrace new love if you allow it to. And if you choose it, those are important words, hang on to those. If you choose it, new love can be part of your new life. There is nothing wrong with choosing to stay on your own and loving it, as long as it's choosing and not settling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a big difference there, but I always get a lot of very defensive people saying, well, you know, what if I don't ever want to get married again? What if I don't want to be in love? That's fine.
Yep.
As long as it's a conscious choice and not something that you're settling for because you believe, or someone's told you, that by moving forward with new life and new love, that you are dishonoring your past, that you are dishonoring the memory of your late beloved, that, or you get it into your head that, well, I'm too old, I've caught my limit, I'm just going to hang out. None of those things are okay with me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you make the choice to be alone, and it's conscious, and it's what makes you happy, I am 100% for it. However, if you decide that new love can be part of your new life, that is a wonderful thing, too. I am living proof of that. And the book talks about that as well.
Yeah, no, I love that part of the book. In fact, that is one of my favorite parts because that is where I am. And I am just starting to date. I loved what you said about all the dating disasters because I've had some dating disasters. Seriously, Carol, that is a whole show on, you know, dating, you know, when you're single, dating again, when you haven't dated, for me, it was like, you know, I had partners from the time I was in college all the way through. I got married in like 20 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you know, I haven't dated in a long time. So I love that part of the book, but I've definitely had a couple of disasters. I was online dating and that was really a disaster. And I canceled my subscription to the online site. So I'd love you to talk about, you know, we don't have that much time left. We'll have to have you back, but talk a bit about, you know, dating, like where you meet people, how do you meet them? Like, you know, how did you meet the person that now is your beloved, you call him, and you're remarried?
I am. And I fell in love with a Brit. He moved here from England because he fell in love with this crazy American writer chick. Although I think he fell in love with California. I think that I was just like a conduit, but he fell in love with California. But I actually, even though I met my now husband when he was here on business, and even though we met face to face, because he lived 6,000 miles away, for a good part of our relationship at the beginning, it was emails and it was phone calls and it was all electronic and digital. Yeah. So I'm very grateful for online. I'm also an advocate of online dating. I did do it myself. I do have my dating disaster stories to tell. But the reason I'm an advocate for it and safely, and I also teach about that, online dating is a wonderful avenue to meet new people and expand your immediate geographic areas. And I know we hear a lot of the horror stories on television because that's what drives television. That's what drives media. But there are also just as many wonderful success stories. I know several people, just myself, that met online and married. Or met online and didn't marry but wound up having wonderful friends or they moved in together or what have you. And that's important. You know, I wouldn't completely discount the online dating as an avenue, but you do have to be smart and safe about it. And unfortunately, a lot of people aren't.
Right.
But dating does involve getting out of your house, whether you use a computer to do it, or whether you actually get dressed and leave the house. People are not going to line up at your door waiting to meet you. You've got to get involved with life. You can't sit around and complain that there are no great men or no great women out there and then tell me in the next breath, no, I haven't tried online, I'm too scared. No, I haven't gone back to my church or my synagogue, I'm too scared. No, I haven't looked up, you know, this hobby or that event or because I'm too whatever. You can't do that. You have to be a proactive part of your process. You can't wait for it to come to you.
That's exactly right. Yeah, my husband told me before he died that he was also very psychic. He could channel. He said, you know, you are going to meet someone and you're going to be remarried. And I remember crying hysterically when he said that and said, I don't want to hear that. It was obviously so hard to hear that when he was like, I had a month to live. It was so hard. Plus, you know, four intuitives and psychics keep telling me that, but I'm not quite ready. You know, I did go on a date and it was too soon and texted him the next morning. I know. I texted him the next morning and said, you know, it's too soon. I hope we can be friends. And this guy was so cool. He wrote me back and said, friends are great. You know, and I was so relieved. I was so terrified to say that. And he just said, friends are great. And so, I mean, it's some meetup groups, you know, I go dancing, you know, I'm doing things. What I'm doing is focusing on what I love and what my passion is and going and doing those things. And I'm getting closer to sort of believing that perhaps I will meet someone eventually.
Well, and sometimes the only way to know that you're not ready is to give it a try. It's that yep. And I talk about this in the book, it's pushing on a bruise. We've all had a really bad bruise, and for some reason, human instinct tells us to push on it. We know it's yep. going to hurt, but we push on it. Well, starting to date again after you become widowed is pushing on a bruise. You are testing the bruise on your heart.
Yes.
And if it hurts too much when you push on that spot, quit pushing, take a step back. You're still getting to know the new Susan, okay, because yep. it's not the same Susan that was the wife and what Mr. and Mrs. one half of the two of you. You need to get to know this person now. That's a process, and it's different for everyone. So if dating hurts too much because you're just not ready yet, the word mm-hmm. yet is a beautiful word because yet is synonymous to me with hope.
Yes.
Means it's going to happen. I want it to happen. I'm open to that possibility. I'm just not there yet. You could be
true.
There tomorrow. You could
very
be there
true.
A year from tomorrow.
True. You know, it's interesting. And of course, all the things we do, you know, you list all kinds of things in the book that help us heal. This session I did with the guests from last week removed some of my fear. I really feel different right now, and that when I
And you are listening to We Carry the Light with Susan Allison here on Stereo 1230 WBLQ and the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
I'm still with you, Brian.
Hi, we're just trying to get Susan back.
Okay.
Hey, Brian.
There you are. We'll go right ahead and we'll let you continue.
All right, because I don't know what happened, whether you lost me or I lost her.
Live radio.
Yes, Carol, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
I so
Susan.
Appreciate you being on the show, and I'd like to have you on again.
I would love that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And thanks so much, all of you listeners. Sorry about the little glitch where I lost you for a minute. I want to really, you know, thank you for being on this show, coming and listening. And I hope that you will call in the future. I really believe that you are a light in the world. Next week, I have Kimberly Hart, just in time for Valentine's Day, to help us get love, which is the title of her latest book. Until then, know that you carry the light. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the transformative show, We Carry the Light, with host Dr. Susan Allison, the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. Who are you right now, and who do you want to be? What is it that makes you happy, helps you feel fulfilled, and living your purpose? Tune in every Thursday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Time.
Talk Radio.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expanding to social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
It's here, the 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference, February 12th through the 16th. This year's theme is I Am We, Hearts Connecting Communities, with special guests Jean Shinoda Bolin, healer Patty Conklin, Penny Pierce, and over 40 experiential life-changing workshops and inspiring evenings, all individually priced for you to create your unique conference. Evenings open to men. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. Watch for the early bird specials all through December.
Get sophisticated with David and Philip Zarza. David and Philip touch on topics such as human potential, spirituality, pop culture, and purposeful living. Experience an insightful reading from David on what the universe has in store for you, or reconnect with a departed loved one. Philip can look into an issue or anything else you may be dealing with. Go to getsophisticated.com. That's SOPHISTIGAYTED.com or call 206-420-8660.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine. We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
It's here, the 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference, February 12th through the 16th. This year's theme is I Am We, Hearts Connecting Communities, with special guests Jean Shinoda Bolin, healer Patty Conklin, Penny Pierce, and over 40 experiential life-changing workshops and inspiring evenings, all individually priced for you to create your unique conference. Evenings open to men. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. Watch for the early bird specials all through December.